Father, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you for hearing us. We thank you for prompting us to pray. And may you be honored in our gathering this morning as we once again look at your word and just see your glory and your majesty in every word. And we see you, Lord Jesus, from the beginning to the end, the whole volume of the book. So Lord, help us now as we take another look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 2 today, very briefly, and then lead us in this time of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, continuing on in Proverbs, we've made it all the way to the second chapter this week. And we're really going to be talking about the value of wisdom. I always thought it was kind of interesting and appropriate that Pastor Chuck always requested when anybody said, how can we pray for you? He always just said one thing, pray for wisdom. Well, there's a lot about wisdom in the book of Proverbs, and there's especially a lot about wisdom in chapter 2 here. And verse 5 kind of culminates the first four active verb lists here in the first four verses. The summary is, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So how do you do that? Well, look at verse 1. It says, my son. Now, my son is used, I think, 24 times in the book of Proverbs. My son, if, we've got a bunch of ifs here, conditional. If you receive, so receive, a big verb. If you receive thy words. And second big verb, treasure. Treasure my commands within you. So if you receive my words and treasure my commands with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. Now that's amazing. Think of a dog or a horse perking up their ears to hear. They're listening. They want to hear it. Does your ear want to hear wisdom? But it says, incline your ear to wisdom and what? Apply your heart. So there is a connection. It shouldn't go just in one ear and out the other. It should go into your ear and then apply it in your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment. So we've got receive, we've got treasure up, we've got incline, we've got apply. And now if you cry out, yes, if you cry out for discernment. I think that's something we really do need to pray for, discernment. There's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of things from Satan that sound really pretty good. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, and then what? Lift your voice. Lift up your voice for understanding. So I think we need to cry out for discernment and cry out for understanding. And if we do those things, as we continue here, verse 4, if we seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. I think everybody has that within them that they would love to find a treasure. Not even knowing what it is, but just a hidden treasure. But you know, if you had all the silver in the world and all the gold in the world, it wouldn't bring you any peace, would it? So there's no peace in the riches of the world. But you seek them anyway. I mean, think about how many lives were lost in pursuing gold and other things over the years. They would go crazy over it, and even to their own death, really, seeking silver. Seeking gold. But if you seek wisdom as you would seek those rare elements and search for her as for hidden treasures, then, okay, this is the then, now then to all the above, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. How well do I understand the fear of the Lord? And the knowledge of God. Find the knowledge of God. Now, what is the knowledge of God? Well, here it's given to us in three words, knowledge of God. But when you start to try to think what that really means, it's infinite, isn't it? God is infinite. So we will never find out all the knowledge of God, but we find out a little more today maybe than we knew yesterday as we see more of His infinite grace and mercy. And find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. How do we hear from His mouth? I think primarily through the Word of God. This whole Bible is spoken by Him. It's His voice to us. Yes, He speaks to us in a kind of audible, semi-audible way, away from the written Word. But the written Word is for sure. You know, you don't have to wonder, did I hear that right? I thought He was calling me to go over here, and now I'm over here, and man, everything is wrong, and it hasn't, and nothing's worked out. I don't know, maybe I didn't hear Him right. But if it's backed up by the Scripture doesn't change, does it? It never changes, it never has, never will. And it's just so amazing as we look back 3,000 years when this was written, how current it is, particularly when we get into some of the wickedness of the world. We think, oh, today it's so bad, and it is, but it was bad then too, you know. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Wow. Can you imagine have somebody that loves you so much storing up wisdom for you? He stores up sound wisdom, not just wisdom, but sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield. We see the protection now. We first saw the treasure, now we see the protection. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Think what that means. Thankfully, think what that means. He guards another security. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of His saints. It's easy to feel like we've lost our way, particularly like in the fog this morning, right? But we're not really talking about physical fog here. I don't think he's preserving our way. And another result now. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. So we really pretty much have absolute righteousness here, don't we? You will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Well, wisdom is pretty good, isn't it? I think it's good to take wisdom apart and examine it, because I so often downplay a little bit in my thoughts wisdom from Solomon, because he's such a disappointment to me to have all that wisdom. And he had the wisdom in judging the people, but he didn't use it in his own life, did he? He failed to, he may have used the wisdom, but he was disobedient to the Lord. And he ended up maybe all right at the very end, but he wasted his life so much with 700 wives when he was told not to multiply wives. He bought horses from all over the world when he was told not to multiply horses. He got silver and gold without limit, and he was told not to multiply silver and gold. Those were the four rules that the king was not supposed to do, and he violated every single one of them. So when we say, oh, just give me the wisdom of Solomon, well, I hope you don't let it drive you into a total disobedience. But the wisdom itself is not the problem. It's the misapplication of these other things, it seems like, doesn't it? Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, then what happens? Discretion. And discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. So that's a beautiful thing. Verse 11. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Are we living that way? Are we living very discreetly? Are we living with really understanding why we're here? If it's apart from Him, we can't. That's what the problem of the world is. It's apart from the Lord. Now, the next great thing here is to deliver you from the way of evil. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. There's a lot of wickedness out there, aren't there? From the man. And this was 3,000 years ago. I thought this was talking about the election this year. And it is. It'll be talking about next year as well, if we're still here. And the will, all that. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness. Wow. To walk in the ways of darkness. Who actually rejoice in doing evil. What a twisted, perverse thing that is. Instead of rejoicing in doing right, they rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. So if you think man is the problem, we also have something here for the woman. Verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters you with her words. I just amazed to me the way God has made men and women. You know, He's made women so seductive and so able to flatter, and He makes men so gullible to take it all in. Oh, you're so strong and you're so smart. Oh, I've never seen anybody as wonderful as you. And really? Man, I like that. Nobody's ever told me that before. Maybe it's because it's not true. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth. Oh, my. You think you're the first man she sold that to? Who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Oh, no. For her house leads down to death. Wow. And her paths to the dead. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Her house leads down to death and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land. So after we get through 19, we have to take a little sigh and just kind of get away from that a little bit, because that's all dead and death and all. But you know, that's the ultimate spiritual consequence of doing the evil thing, of rejecting the Lord, because you end up spiritually dead forever. Amen. And you're not going to follow the seductress woman if you're really walking in the way of the Lord, because you know that's wrong. But if you say, well, I would rather pursue that than pursue the Lord, and if you continue to do that and continue to do that and continue to do that to the end of your life, then you've chosen to be apart from the Lord forever, and that is eternal death. But it finishes much better here. Yes. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land. And I can't read my Bible here. And the what will remain? I've got bled through from a marking on the previous page. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Judgment is coming, saith the Lord, right? It's right around the corner, it seems that seems to us. So this brings us to the end of the chapter here for wisdom and its value, particularly in the area of looking at it as the treasure, as the protector from evil. And if we are with him and follow him, then we have eternal life. And if we don't, if we pursue the evil, then we will walk in the way of death. So we thank the Lord for wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us in so many, many ways, and help us to glean from your word. And again, just time with you in it and asking the questions to you, the author, as it relates to us, and maybe some of the small points, and what does that really mean, and what does it really mean to me, and what does it really mean in my life? Is this a course correction, Lord? And thank you for pointing that out, and may I respond to it? May I not say, well, this is the way I am, this is the way I've always done it. Well, that's the reason you really need to change. If you haven't done it the right way always, that's a change time. Well, now, Lord, as we have time to pray, and such an immense thing ahead of us here, we've got the election coming up, and we've got the world that's in such a mess because of turning their back on you, and how are we to live? How are we to cry out to you? Help us to pray as led by the Spirit, as you, Spirit, know, and lead us the right way. So we yield to you now, in the name of Jesus. Let's pray.
To minister to those that are hurting, that don't know you, and that struggle.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here, and Lord, we so easily can be overcome by thoughts of godlessness. But I really want to close on a positive note, Lord, by thinking of you and who you are, and minds off of all this other stuff. You've given us discernment.
Thank you.
And only you will correct these things. We can do a little bit, but I do want to lift up tomorrow, Lord. It's the three services given over to prayer at Chino Hills, and Lord, at thousands to pray for those several hours. And then the 21 days of prayer and fasting after that. Lord, I just pray every church would be in prayer, Lord. Tune out all of the distractions. Just focus on you. And so we know the gifts of wisdom, and that it causes us to fear you and to know you. And I just want to close with this praise song of knowing you. So let's sing this and just think of who he is.
All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres, and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you.
Father, we do ask for your help.
Yes.
Help us to love you more. Help us to love one another more. May your will be done in our lives today. May we redeem this day, Lord. We really have very few days left. Yesterday's gone, never to be repeated. Today will soon be gone. And if you give us tomorrow, may we stand for you then as well. Until that day, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and recognize your awesomeness. In Jesus' name, amen.